I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. From a local business to a global corporation.
Partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful you'll make every move matter.
Visit bankofamerica.com/banking for business to learn more.
What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You're listening to Side Hustle Pro, the podcast that teaches you to build and grow your side hustle from passion project to profitable business. And I'm your host, Nikayla Matthews Okome. So let's get started. Hey, friends. Hey. Today in the guest chair, we have Nicole Crowder. Nicole is an acclaimed designer, upholsterer, editor, writer, and curator. Her work has been featured on acclaimed HBO television series Insecure and has been acquired by historical museums. In 2022, Nicole released her first custom furniture collection with World Market that was featured in all 200 of their U.S. retail stores and online. She collaborates with brands that span across advertising, hospitality, fashion, and television to redefine space making. A consummate print lover and consumer, Nicole started her career in editorial and lifestyle print magazines like Essence, InStyle, AARP, and more. And in today's episode, she shares how she got started, how she got the courage to take her side hustle full time, and how she navigates visibility and identity as an artist. Let's get right into it. So welcome to the guest chair officially, Nicole. How are you?
I am wonderful. I'm so excited to be here. I've been a huge admirer of you and your podcast. So thank you so much.
Oh, I appreciate that so much. I have been a huge admirer of your work as well. And it is so nice to have you here to kind of hear about your background, because I think it's just so incredible. I'm curious, how do you introduce yourself these days?
Oh, that's a great question. I introduce myself as an artist, as a designer, as a curator, and as an editor these days. I've leaned a lot more into my editor-writer phase, which has been amazing. And so those are the words that are coming up in terms of how I introduce myself to people who aren't familiar with my work previously, but also people who are getting to know me at this iteration.
Iteration. I love that word so much. This iteration. So what was Nicole's original career path before this iteration?
Ooh, so I was a photo editor in the publishing industry for over 10 years, I think almost 12, 13 years. And I absolutely loved that time. I started out as a photo intern at Essence Magazine. And that opened up so many opportunities for me to move further into the publishing industry. And I was just like, what? This is a world I can, like, you know, work with photographers and art directors and put together packages on, you know, incredible stories. And so I did that work for, 10 years, starting, moved from New York to DC. And I was working with AARP, the magazine there, senior plus, like 50 plus audience. Oh,
my mom would love to hear that. My mom is on her AARP flow right now.
Listen, AARP is amazing.
She loves the content.
It's a great publication. And I, you know, was overseeing like the arts and the culture and a lot of like photo shoots with them, which was amazing. And moved in from that to working with the Washington Post and working in newspapers and with photographers in a different capacity. But it was...
How did you get into photography? Did you study
I didn't study it officially, but I always loved photography. I always was a very creative kid, very artistic. And I was in college studying history. And one of my professors, like, basically had put me on to photography. He was like, you know, I'm always... seeing you like taking photos and you're posting things. There was a internal, you know, website on the school where we could share photos and things like that. And I ended up experimenting in the darkroom just with developing negatives and everything and different photo techniques. And I really, really fell in love with that. And I was like, oh my gosh, is this something that I could, you know, just do for fun? And then he opened up my world to, it's not just like a hobby, but this could really be a niche. And I got introduced to magazine photography that way. I'd always collected magazines and, you know, big print fan. We had a lot of magazines around the house. And it started just clicking for me of like, okay, these are photo credits. These are art director credits. And, you know, these are the different ways that you can design a visual package. There's a title for that. And so I started to pursue that career after college and really after my internship with Essence, which I was...
How did you go about getting a job without that formal study? Were they just interested in your work and said, hey, she's good, so let's hire her?
A bit of, you know, it was a mix of things. Like I would say, right place, right time, connections who are really willing to help me, you know, get my name in the room. I had been building up a portfolio, but truly still didn't even know how to build a portfolio. This is when people were taking like hard copy, you know, binders to... offices still to show their work. And so
that was a portfolio, a literal
and
portfolio,
it was expensive
a literal
to print
binder.
Because larger images, you know, and at the time print was very expensive to do. It's still expensive to do. But after my internship with Essence, I had just been building up a portfolio steadily of different types of work, portraiture, food, interiors. And the editors there were so gracious in sharing my name, you know, putting it in rooms, talking with other editors who were hiring at the time. And I had applied for a job for AARP to get how I came across it. But at the end of my internship, they were asking, you know, what's your next pursuit? And I was like, well, I think I'm going to keep on in this field and do photo editing. And so they had put me in touch with the editors at AARP.
Interesting.
And from New York to DC, I went. So it was so much like word of mouth, but a little bit, you know, also contributing my work and being able to speak to what I wanted to do in the industry.
There is a common thread that I am hearing from you, Nicole, and that is you've always had an eye, whether it's photography or now with interior design. You have this vision for beautiful things. What do you think influenced that?
I think a lot of it really is, well, in part, I grew up as a military kid and I was really introverted and shy as well, but I was super curious about everything around me. And there was so much of it. It was, you know, a lot of different textures and colors and accents and tapestries. Yeah. And a lot of that growing up in, you know, South Korea, Japan, Germany, influenced how I really engaged with art and my curiosity about art. And I think I just brought a lot of that with me through what I read, what I consumed, and then also, you know, getting into school, just what I was kind of curious about. And I love being able to envision a space. And I'm the kind of person who likes a lot of, kind of like when you walk into a bazaar, just everything hitting you at one time, all the smells and the colors and the mixture of everything. And so with each of the mediums, I think that I'm getting into, I'm trying to bring that same approach of like maximalism. And
I was just thinking of that word.
Yeah, like striking visuals. I just, more and more with me.
And when did you start tipping your toe into exterior design?
Ooh, I would say This was, well, initially I was working as a photo editor with AARP, but during that time I was freelancing as a photographer with Apartment Therapy. This is when they were hiring people to do house tours. And so I would go to a bunch of different homes, photograph, you know, everything about the home. And then I would get a whole resource list of where they bought stuff. And I was building a log of like, okay, this is from Crate and Barrel, West Elm. This is from, you know, Room and Board or wherever it was. And I just became really, really fascinated with spaces and sort of styling them, imagining them as extensions of your personality. Also around the same time, I was discovering upholstery, kind of. I was seeing chairs for the first time as if I had never seen them before, but there was something about the ability to transform them and make them almost feel dressed that really resonated with me. And I just got, you know, bitten by this bug, and it became this affinity to reimagine space. And I've been doing that since 2012, I would say. Yeah, 2012.
Reimagine.
Oh my gosh.
And that's how I came across your work, with you reimagining things. And I thought, wow, I never imagined that you could do that to an older chair that had a completely different fabric. What do you think inspired you to do it the very first time? Like, did you just, you wanted a look and you couldn't afford it, or what was that?
It was like this, something had clicked in my brain of like, this skill I had never attempted before. Now all of a sudden I can make this chair look like anything I want. And I was like, oh, so we can really, like, you know, make this thing pop and give it a whole new personality. And so I developed this obsession almost. I was on Craigslist at the time every day from like 1 to 3 o'clock in the morning, knowing I had to get up and go to work in a few hours. But I was like searching for chairs. It was a lot of trial and error just in my apartment, experimenting with fabrics. And I always love fabrics and textures. This, again, stemming from, you know, my childhood. My grandmother was a really big collector. My mom also. So it was just textiles everywhere. And I was just like,
interesting.
You can do anything you want with these. If the wood is intact, basically everything else was cosmetic. And I was really keen on challenging myself also in this new medium that I had never, you know, sort of experimented in before. And I wanted to just create furniture that I had never seen before.
And when did you start doing it for other people?
I would say within the year. So I had set up, there was a woman, she was an architect, and she bought the very first pieces of furniture that I had ever created. And she came to my apartment and was like, oh, do you have a showroom? Is there more? And I was like, girl, this is the sunroom. Like, I have nothing else, you know, in here.
Wait, okay, back it up. Why did she come to your apartment? Were you advertising your work online at this point?
These, the first couple of pieces that I sold, or that I had listed, I put them on Craigslist, not even sure. I think I was putting them for like $40 or something. And the woman who came by happened to be an architect in the area. And she was like, well, you know, this isn't just a hobby. Like, upholstery is a niche. And I have a lot of clients who are looking for an upholsterer here. And so that set off this light bulb for me. And she introduced me to a couple of markets around DC. And I started selling out of like parking lots next to Whole Foods, you know, where there was marketplaces that were happening in the summer. And the response was so incredible. Like, people had not seen as vibrant, dynamic, really textured, layered pieces as the ones that I was bringing. And in DC at the time, I wasn't sure if the market, you know, it was more conservative, if people wanted really colorful things. And so once those, I sold out completely of those pieces, that's when I was like, okay, there's a there. I need to get more of these.
How do you do it? If someone likes a chair and you have gotten this unique print from somewhere, how do you replicate things if you're getting unique fabrics each time?
That's the thing. I like bespoke. I like one of one pieces. And I try to stay in that vein, because there's there's so many ways to create furniture that replicating the same design twice almost feels limiting. So, you know, if it's short of like a set, I'm more than happy, you know, of course, to recreate you know, the same piece. But I have tried to hone the language of presenting clients with options for a different, you know, world to sort of exist in their homes, and to look at their personalities, to look at how they want to use a space, and then present them with some options of, well, we can go with these kind of patterns and these colors and these textures to add even more warmth, add even, you know, more kind of intrigue to what you already have here, if you'd be willing to walk with me a little bit to just sort of, you know, push the imagination. Yes, trust the vision.
Trust
the
vision.
I'm so grateful that, you know, over time people have been able to do just that to the point now where it's like, I want you to just put your stamp on this piece and I'm going to reimagine my room around this piece of furniture. Yes. And that is, you know, such a blessing to hear from clients.
Yes. What was the process from one-on-one client work to working with brands?
I would say for the first 3 years of my business, I was doing largely like residential work, hospitality, some commercial projects like hotels and restaurants around DC.
Okay.
And then it was 2020. Honestly, it was in the midst of, you know, the upheaval and the uproar. The George Floyd murder had happened. And this is when brands were really wanting to work with Black designers and amplify Black makers. Mm-hmm. And I remember getting, it was within like a 2 month span, back to back emails and opportunities from so many different brands. The ones I had wanted to work with, publications I had, you know, been following for years. And they were all kind of like, providing these emails that said they recognized the dearth of, you know, using Black designers world market. They had reached out to me. I was in my studio working on a piece. Mm-hmm. And that's when I got an email from them to see if I had ever had an interest in designing my own furniture and fabric collections. And if I wanted to collaborate with them to produce my own. And I was like, I think I dropped the phone, you know, because it was such a surreal moment. And that was such a turning point right there that brands were finally sort of seeing the work that I had been doing, you know, I felt very openly and visibly for years. Yeah.
And at that point, were you still side hustling or were you just full time doing your own studio client work?
Yeah. At this point, I had gone full time. I had been working, doing some side like writing or freelancing for publications still for about 2 years. I was still working as a freelance photo editor for publications like Nat Geo Traveler, The Washington Post, some publications on the West Coast. But it was really when my commercial work and my hospitality work had picked up to the point where I had definitely outgrown my apartment space that I was working in, and I was moving into a studio. And that's when I was like, I want to lean more into my business acumen, making sure that I'm stepping into this with my own name, you know, Nicole Crowder Upholstery, which means I have to really stand on craftsmanship, quality, professionalism to ensure that I'm sustaining my business and taking this as seriously as I could. And so that sort of mental switch allowed me to step more into like, this is what I do full time. It's no more, well, I work as a photo editor, but also as a furniture designer. It's like, I do furniture design and upholstery. Right. That's what I do.
Yeah, it is an important shift, like owning what you do and showing up in the world with that confidence. Yes. And it's not like, oh, I have a little side hustle. Oh, you know, I dabble and dibble. No, this is, you know, this is what I do.
Yeah.
And on the financial side, was it hard for you to walk away from having that security blanket of the photo editing job and you know what you were doing?
It was for a couple of reasons. This would actually be my second time doing that. I had initially tried to jump into upholstery full time in 2000 and I want to say it was 8 or 9. No, it wasn't that early. Maybe it was like 2010. But
yeah,
I didn't have any sense of like entrepreneurship. You know, I didn't think I had that spirit. And I also didn't have a sense of time, money management. I was operating under a whole different name. And I had quit my job kind of going off of, you know, the hope and prayer that things would work out. You know, you can't pay bills on hope and prayers. Like,
not a hope and prayer. You can't pay your bills on hope and prayers.
It was, I ended up having to go back to work. And at the time, I felt like, quote unquote, you know, failure. I felt like I had put myself in the position where never
failure, always
a lesson. And my mindset, it took about a year after that experience for me to sort of recover from this sort of breakup that I felt I had gone through with upholstery. And I knew that it was my calling. I knew that it was a purpose that I had been given. And so when I came back, I had a whole different mindset around, you know, it's less fear-based. It's not about we're not going to be able to take care of ourselves. I had things in place. I had structure. I had some savings as well.
Yes. What did you do differently as far as structure and making sure you could pay the bills?
A few things that I did. I had already had my website set up. I had a Yelp business page set up because I was like, I need more ways to be visible in this very expensive market, you know, that DC was. And I didn't have a publicist, an agent, management, any of those things. Did not have, you know, sort of the budget for that. And I created a Yelp business page before I fully even jumped into the work because I wanted to be sure that I had enough interest from clients coming in. And I also set up rates for myself based on what I knew I wanted to make in a particular month. So it wasn't just like, you know, arbitrary prices that I was giving to people, but it was like a breakdown.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
no more $40 chairs,
no,
right?
Never again. It was it was wild to think about that. But I also was, right. I think I had limited myself too because of the bandwidth that I could take. I had a lot of projects, but because it was just me working, I wasn't able to take them on. And that was cutting into how much money I was able to make as well. Yes. And so I started to tap into upholsterers in the area and was building a network of people who I could sort of contract and help or hire out to, you know, also take on some of this work. And that was like a game changer because they were also looking for work. They really loved the work that I did. And they, at the time, were not getting as much, you know, sort of client response. So it was really good to be able to also provide work for other people as I was getting, you know, so many inquiries and everything like that. But I also had to have a structure in terms of my business hours. I had to establish business hours. And previously, I was just like, whenever I got up, I was working until, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, responding to emails on the weekends. And this time around, it was like Monday through Friday are the work days. And we're going to operate as, you know, a business in terms of emails, 8 o'clock till about, I think it was 5 or 6. But past that, I tried not to get so embedded to where it was consuming my life and my time.
Because that could make you start to hate this thing that you love to do, right? I love a few things that you said. You know, you talked about raising your prices, which to me, when you're doing something so custom like this with your hands, and I just think it should charge all the coins, all the dollars, not even any coins. Like, and I think it's one of those spaces too, where it's almost like, how can anyone argue? Like, are you going to do this, fabric customization on this chair?
Yes,
no. Okay.
Basically.
Then it's thousands of dollars. Thank you very much. Number two, giving yourself permission to clock out.
Yeah.
Right. Like sometimes when we have a job that when we create this entrepreneur, life in this business, it's so easy. Like, oh, I'm just in bed. I can pull up my laptop.
Yes.
It's so easy to keep on working.
Yes.
But that takes an incremental toll on you. Even when it doesn't feel like it is, you have to set that boundary for yourself as an entrepreneur. And that can be difficult to do.
Yeah.
So I'm so glad you mentioned that.
Yeah. Part of my, you know, job also, I think as, or our jobs as creative people is to make that spaciousness for imagination, you know, to just be inspired by, to just sort of look around and observe and let our brains, I like to say, let my brain just dawdle, you know, just wander and be free. And we're not always in problem solving mode or thinking about the next project. That's become like a daily thing for me. I will let this mind just sort of like, we will take the breaks as needed. And I realize how much more inspired I feel, how much lighter I am, how much more open I am as a person. So it's necessary.
Absolutely. I can relate to that. And I'm sure so many of you guys listening can relate to that as well. I don't know how it is for every profession, but I know as a creative, you're absolutely right. We need that space and we need the energy, right? Our energy has to be in a place such that we can be creative. We can make beautiful things. We can make art in this world, whatever your art is. Otherwise, it's just going to be wound up tight and
costly as well, because I've definitely been in a position where I've tried to rush through projects, or I just wasn't very present and I was moving very quickly.
Mistakes happen.
And it's the kiss of death, you know, hearing from a client that like, I'm disappointed in something. And that's like, you know, learning those lessons very early on in my career have they've stayed with me, and it's helped me to slow my hand down, because I'm a very fast moving, fast talking person. But upholstery has been the craft that's really taught me to slow down, be more present, and be be in the moment, to notice those attention, the attention to detail and that quality control.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like, you literally have to slow down to create.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, and when we keep them bottled up, it affects us negatively. I have found that therapy has been a safe space to get things off my chest. I had my daughter last August, and by January, I hit up my therapist like, let's go ahead and set up this monthly session. Therapy has been so helpful for me in setting boundaries, and it just empowers me to be the best version of myself. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, this is your sign to go ahead and do it and give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/HustlePro today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/HustlePro.
Now back to the brand starting to reach out. So how did you go about entering that space of working with brands like World Market, stepping up into that next level?
It was such a surreal time because I feel like a lot of things were moving quickly, but I'm very grateful that, I'm so grateful that I had the split second pause to be like, let me talk to somebody who's been in this space for a while and who knows how to negotiate like licensing, royalties, SKUs. I didn't have any experience in this at all. And so I reached out to Justina Blakeney, actually, and she was so, so generous and quick to respond and was like, girl, let's have a conversation. Happy to talk with you about.
And you guys didn't know each other at all.
No, not we had met before. We had just sort of communicated via Instagram, and cheering one another or each other on in our respective fields. But I loved her work and I loved how she showed up in her work. And she was so gracious in her advice and feedback about here's the language to put in your contract. Here's what's to mention also. Make sure royalties, you're negotiating and advocating for yourself because, first time, being approached by a big brand, your thought is they have sort of the control. I'm sort of happy to be here. But at the end of the day, my name is on the products. And I wanted to make sure that I was coming into this experience with as much information as I could so that I could be able to be a great partner and also advocate for myself when I needed to. And then the next thing was getting an attorney to help me, cull through the language and the contracts. And that was so, so life-changing and helpful. And being able to...
Shout out to Justina. I love that experience that you shared. Yes. Being able to reach out to a fellow creator, don't necessarily even know each other. You guys, send the DM, send the email, send the message. If you have a question and someone else has done it before you, it doesn't hurt to ask.
It doesn't. It doesn't. Like, mm-hmm. that ecosystem is right. so incredible. Even, like you were yeah. saying, virtually, and you don't know them personally.
That's what I love about social media. I always call it yes. social media networking. It, to me, is the same as a fellow, as an introvert. Like, I love me some social media networking.
I'm telling you, like, yeah. so many of my friends to this day are people who I've mm-hmm. just DM'd, and I was like, I yeah, love what you do. Yeah. You seem very cool. Would you like to get a coffee? And, you know, just having mm-hmm. that vibe and yeah. that connection, building that organically has been really, really amazing. And so she helped, you know, really foster me through that process.
And how does it work as far as pay structure, right? So you mm-hmm. develop something. Is it a one-time fee? Is it cut every time someone buys something from the collection? How does that work?
Yeah, and it can be different for different brands. For this particular contract with them, I had a one-time upfront fee basically for my mm-hmm. sketches. So initially okay. we had presented, or they wanted to look at 3 sketches. And I had that okay. all prepared, because just as a creative who even wanted to have her own collection, I already had work that I envisioned for myself. And so with this opportunity, I was like, I presented them with six total sketches, and which ended up they wanted to buy and make into SKUs. So that was incredible. Always, if you can advocate for more SKUs, please do, because that means more, you know, money for yourself.
What does a SKU look like when it comes to them? So they're putting these designs on a whole bunch of different products.
So a SKU is basically like the product. Yeah. So there's a chaise lounge, a dining yep. room and all that stuff, or a pillow or whatever it is. And the different designs yeah. based on the different textile combinations equate like the different sort of SKU numbers.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Or meditation pillows okay. and things like that.
Love that.
And so yes. I was paid for the sketches up front, and then we negotiated the royalties. Mm-hmm. And the royalties are on wholesale okay. price, not a retail price. So I worked with okay. my attorney to also negotiate and advocate for a larger royalty, because that's really where the money resides. You know, it was royalties.
Yeah. And who's buying like wholesale from World Market? This is a whole new space for me. So I'm trying to envision this.
There's a couple of stuff on the back, and I'm not even quite fully sure who is buying the wholesale from them. They have mm-hmm. At least 3 different partners okay. based in the UK. There was one in India as well.
Okay.
But I can't remember where the other partner was. And so we had, oh my gosh, meetings over the course of a year, essentially, where it was deciding everything from the wood that we were going to use to the patterns. We worked with different fabric fabricators who took the designs and the color palettes that I had presented. Mm. And then they came up with all these different fabrics, and we narrowed those down to create ultimately the collection that resulted. And then I went to their headquarters, draped all the fabrics over the pieces of furniture just to see, does this combo work? Does that combo work? And then when everything was said and done, and yeah. we had stuff solidified in terms of what World Market wanted to order for the initial drop, then I received an email that said, I was sitting mm-hmm. at dinner with some friends, and I checked my email, and it was like, you know, hi, Nicole, we're excited to, you know, sort of share with you that your royalty check for X is being processed, and the largest amount of money I'd ever seen in my life. And I was like, my mouth was on the floor. I was like, excuse? Just a casual email? Like, I would imagine this was a Zoom call, you know? Like, I need to be there in person.
Listen.
I was floored.
I'm tingling.
Listen.
Like, I feel like it's me. I feel like it's me.
I had no idea a pay structure like this existed, and that people
exactly.
could just write checks.
And
like
this is
that.
Why I ask, right? Because I had no idea. I'm sure some of you guys don't have any
yeah.
idea. It's like, tell me more about this. Who's buying this? What kind of royalty check can I get? Maybe I need to start sketching.
You can, and this is just me with my one, you know, partnership, yeah. but I imagine yeah. with more SKUs, that's having negotiated mm-hmm. a higher royalty rate for myself, which is very, very
yes.
key.
Important.
I went into it with mm-hmm. a particular number, and mm-hmm. yeah, it was truly life-changing. It very
That's
much was.
Awesome. Shout out to your attorney. Shout out
yes.
again to Justina and everyone.
Shout out.
So have you done more collaborations like this, and how proactive are you versus reactive?
I haven't done more collaborations in this capacity, but I really, mm-hmm. really would love to.
Do you pitch these, or are you waiting, I guess,
for to hear
more brands to reach out?
World Market, they had reached out, which was great. It was really affirming, you know, mm-hmm. for a brand to sort of see you and be like, hey, we want to be in touch and be in your
yeah.
world. For the other ones, I've only reached right. out to one other brand to pitch to them. And I had
okay.
a fantastic friend who was a consultant helped me put together a whole deck in terms of, you know, what to present and language to use and all of that. Mm-hmm. But it was only the one that I had sort of pitched actively. And I'm still, you know, in my mindset, I am hopeful, it'd be wonderful to collaborate with someone, but I do very much feel like artists should pitch, because there's some brands you feel like, because you're visible and maybe you, you know, you've been out here for a few years, it's like, you might think people see you, but there have been so many occasions where I have emailed places and folks were like, well, where have you been? Like, why haven't I heard about you before? Yes, let's do something ASAP.
And so, yes. I always operate under that, like, not enough people know about me and I have to keep I have to go harder. Like, every single day I wake up like that, because everyone is just kind of in their own world, especially if, you know, like, who are the decision makers at these companies, right? Are they, and who are they following in their feed? And they might not look like us. So you have to keep that in mind as well. So keep pitching, and artists, keep pitching yourself. Now, I want to know a little bit more before we jump into the lightning round. The insecure.
Come on now.
The insecure opportunity. How did it come on? Let's snap our fingers for that. So, Nicole, your work has been featured on the acclaimed HBO television series. Well, that was Netflix, I believe. Insecure.
That was.
How did that come about?
Oh my gosh. Just even thinking about that memory gives me some tingles. I had moved back to Minnesota. I was in DC for 15 years and I had just sort of this inner prompting to move back home, basically, and create my business here. And I was home maybe for 2 months.
Yes.
And I had done these meditation pillows, which I had started at the beginning of the pandemic, just to allow people some breathing space, you know, create a new product that might help people sort of get through this time. And this was maybe my fourth iteration of the pillows that I had put on my website. And I got an email from one of the production designers for Insecure out of the blue. And they were like, hi, Nicole, you know, we're working on the final season of Insecure. And I wanted to see if we could, you know, purchase some pillows from you. And I was like, excuse, you know, it took me 3 or 4 reads through that email because I was bugging. And I said, yes, absolutely. I have, you know, pillows already made, but I'm more than happy to design, you know, new pillows if it's a particular color scheme or the set or the scene, you know, let me know what you need. And they were so generous and amazing. And they were like, we can buy stuff offline, but if you want to create something, we would just need about, you know, 2 pillows. And I said, okay, bet. So what did I do? Okay. I sent 3 pillows because I was like, you never know. This might end up, you know, on another scene. And they were all different, all custom. Mm. And I even provided like a little note in the box as well. Crossing my fingers, because you get a, you know, the address and you're like, there's no way this is to the set, you know, for Insecure. And I hadn't heard anything. Months and months had gone by and I had not heard back. And the season was already starting. So I was like, all right, maybe, you know, maybe they didn't like the pillows or they didn't arrive. All these things were going through my head. And then it was the night of the, I think it was episode 5 of this last season. And I'm getting ready to go to bed, child. Uh-huh. TV is off. Like, I'm going to the back. And one of my girlfriends texts me. And then another girlfriend texts me. And then my Instagram, like my DMs, I'm getting pings. And people are like, girl, are these your pillows on Insecure? And I run to the TV and I turn it on. And it is the scene where they're all, it's a beautiful overhead shot of them lounging on Issa Rae's like patio, I guess, her character's patio. Just like Black women luxuriating, all this color. And my pillows are just right there. So I'm in my little phone taking pictures of, you know, the TV and hollering, crying. It was so incredible.
Oh my gosh. I love this story for so many reasons. It's one of those moments where it's like, could I have ever imagined this? The very first time I got some fabric and some chairs off Craigslist. Could you have ever imagined this moment of seeing your work on television?
Ooh, you contextualizing it in that way. I could not. I don't even know if it was like an aspiration at the time, if I even allowed myself to aspire so much. I was just like, I just want to make beautiful things. And hopefully I get to work with people who appreciate them and, you know, want to pay me for those things. But I never imagined that it would be on TV sets. And then later, actually a piece in my World Market collection in the home now of Ava DuVernay. Like, just she messaged me. Well, actually, she had commented when I shared the sort of preview for the collection. And I messaged her and I was like, I love your work so much. And I would be grateful to, you know, send you a piece. And we ended up sending her my signature piece, which is the biggest one, is the Chaise Lounge.
Nice.
And recently, because that was 2022, but this year, one of my girlfriends, who is also, she works in publishing and she's on photo shoots all the time, she saw Ava DuVernay at an event while she was promoting her film Origin. And she sends me a text. The two of them have a selfie. And she was like, Ava says she loves her Chaise still. And I was like, stop. It was just those moments, you know, they're like extra fuel and they just give me so much joy.
Pursue those side hustles.
Yes.
Pursue those side hustles.
Do it.
It's an interest for a reason. It doesn't make sense to you now. You don't know why you're interested in it, but just do it.
Do it.
Just do it. Hey, you know what else I like about this story? I like that people recognize your work. I like that people say, hey, those are Nicole's pillows.
Yes, like that signature right there.
That signature.
Developer signature is so powerful.
So it only makes sense that we touch on this, right? I always ask my guests these days, you know, what is your area of expertise or what would you like to discuss on the podcast? Just to see what they say, right? Mm. I know what I want to discuss, but I'm curious if there's anything they want to call out. And Nicole, you shared navigating multiple disciplines as a multi-hyphenated creative person who is also trying to distinguish my identity through the work I produce from my value as a person who is still navigating visibility. Ooh.
Listen.
I said, wow. Talk to us about that.
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
I feel like there's been these points where I feel like I have to define myself as I'm a furniture designer. I'm an upholsterer. And largely that is because, you know, when you are on platforms and you have a space for your bio, there's only so many characters that you can put there. And so you're trying to wrestle with, okay, but what do I do and who am I? And I had kind of conflated this idea that I am the work that I do. And, you know, you're known for a particular identity for so long that that's what you do. You know, you are an upholsterer. I went from being a photo editor to now you're an upholsterer. Yeah. And I feel very much, and I recognize very much that I am someone who is a manifest generator, a creative, a multi-talented person who is able to tap into lots of different mediums, not all of them for the, you know, prospect of making money, but for the prospect of expression. So I realized that I could give myself the umbrella title of artist, which is, I don't know why, but it's something that I had struggled with for a while. I was like, that seems very, like I have to work to get there. Like that just seems like years down the road, you know, when you've gotten your Video Vanguard Award type of thing, you know? And I was thinking I was becoming too enmeshed with the work that I was creating, being tied to if people saw me, if they liked me, if I put something out that resonated with people, okay, then, you know, you get that like bit of adrenaline that's sort of like, okay, this is a value. Therefore, kind of conflating that I'm a value. Or then if you put something out that doesn't sell and you're like, oh gosh, you know, am I good at this anymore?
I'm no longer valuable.
Aren't reaching out. Yeah. It's like, man, have I, you know, am I not doing good work or whatever it is? And a lot of that work I've had to do and move through to realize that this is who I am naturally showing up as. This is just, I could, you know, it's how I operate is to create, is to ideate and then put, you know, beautiful works out into the world, and that I can do that in many different mediums. And I can decide one day, you know, that I'm moving past upholstery and I want to get into quilting, or I want to get into jewelry making, or go completely a different direction, you know, and pursue a different field, but it's all tied to my identity, but it's not tied to my value.
Yes.
And so, you know, those have been things that I've just been working through as I even think about my career in upholstery evolving and whether, you know, this way of working is what I want to do long term. And I know that it is not, but it went through a period of transition that was a little uncomfortable, trying to allow myself that permission to evolve into a different, you know, way when I work so hard to be here. And so I'm deeply interested and fascinated in stories of women, which is why I'm so grateful for your podcast, because you talk to women who are in so many different points in their careers at the start, the middle, but also some who are sunsetting.
Yes.
And I really love those stories where it's done with intention and purpose. And it's like, I'm doing this because I'm trying to aspire or evolve into a different version of myself. And we talked about iterations at the beginning of this, and I've given myself that permission.
Yeah, iterations. I love when people talk about that as well, because like you said, in anything, whether it's you're working for someone else or you're working for yourself, that identity value piece is so dicey. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we hold on to things for too long and or we're scared to go into that next iteration because it's like, who am I if I'm no longer doing this?
Exactly.
Right.
How do I talk about myself?
Give ourselves permission. Yeah. How do I talk about myself if I no longer work for X? If I no longer do this business.
Exactly.
And the truth is that what we do is not who we are.
Exactly. That part.
And I think it's also, and now we get a little deep too, but you know, I was actually listening to a sermon just this weekend that made me think about this, because it's like sometimes it even applies to mistakes in life and missteps. Mm-hmm. So if you started a business and it didn't work out, something that I had an epiphany about was, a mistake is something you've done. It's not who you are, right?
Yes.
So if you're committed to change and shifting, you have to make sure you don't stay down in your failure or stay down in your misstep. Like, oh, this is who I am. I'm a failure at business now. No, that you were just learning, or you made a mistake. And now let's move forward.
I love that. A mistake is something you've made and not who you are. It's something you've done and not who you are. That is really powerful. Yeah.
So with that, I would love to transition into the lightning round. We could talk for a long time.
I'm telling you, we could do this all day.
Let's go on ahead and, you know, the deal, you answer the first thing that comes to mind. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
All right. So number one, what is a resource that has helped you in your business that you can share with the Side Hustle Pro audience?
Ooh, the Vixer app for video editing.
Oh, I love Vixer.
I love using that app. It has really changed the game in terms of my videos and how I share and market my products. It's accessible if you don't have video editing experience. I love it.
Yes. We'll link to that. That's Vixer. Number two, who is a Black woman entrepreneur who you admire and would want to trade places with for a day, non-celebrity?
Oh my gosh. Oh, there's two that come to mind. Skylar Marche, I believe is how you pronounce her last name. I love her content and I love how just freely she shows up in it, where it doesn't look like, you know, she's directly selling product, but she's just living her life and she's so centered in ease and she's just incredibly dope. And then also Chris Cavallari of the brand Icon. Ooh. Like, I just love her vibe. I love how she also shows up online. She's just dope and so free. And she has a podcast and her, you know, clothing company, and she does her photo studio. I just admire both of them. I love how they show up in their work.
Nice. Number three, what's a non-negotiable part of your day these days?
Ooh, it's the rest and the dawdling. Like, I allow myself the breaks to relax my body and my mind so that I can continue to contribute. And not feel like I just have to be on because this is the work day. I take my walks. I definitely get outside for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Need it. Okay. Number four, what is a personal trait that has helped you significantly in business?
A personal trait. My gosh. I'm very big into astrology and I like to, I take that seriously in the sense of it allowing me to be grounded and manifesting things I can't yet see. And so I like to take my morning having my tea, which I'm sitting here with a custom tea that I have made to help ground me. And then I use these cards. It's called the Remedy. It's a melanated affirmation deck by this incredible woman named Dejoelle, who's based here in Minnesota. Mm. And I really have to center myself in the affirmations which also frees up my imagination to be more present in my business and with my clients, coming home to myself first before I give to others. Yeah.
Ooh, Well, coming home to myself first. I love that. That's a word. That's far. And so finally, number five, what is your parting advice for fellow women entrepreneurs who want to be their own boss, but are scared of losing that steady
paycheck? I would say, trust your instincts. If working part-time or even full-time while you're pursuing your entrepreneurial dream is what's going to make you comfortable, do that. Like, there is no valor in, you know, jumping into something where you're not comfortable, where you feel there is the instability that's going to bring up anxieties for you. So I would say, do what you can to buoy yourself, make yourself as comfortable as possible, and lean into the resources, your support group, ask so many questions from advisors, from people who are on the path that you want to be on, even if it's in a different field. That intake and knowledge can only help you to be informed, to make the best decision for yourself. But really, really trust your instinct, trust your gut. You know what it is that you need. You know where you want to be. You know what makes you most comfortable. So always come back to your own home frequency, your own truth.
That is the perfect note to end on. So, Nicole, where can people connect with you after this episode?
Yes, you can connect with me on Instagram. I am at Nicole M. Crowder, M as in Marie. You can connect with me on my website. It's NicoleCrowderUpholstery.com. And I also teach upholstery workshop retreats. So you can come and sit with me in person and learn upholstery. The website for that is TheUpholsteryRetreat.com. So I'm very much into space making. So please reach out.
All right, guys. And there you have it. I will talk to you next week. Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to Side Hustle Pro. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other side hustlers just like you to find the show. And if you want to hear more from me, you can follow me on Instagram at Side Hustle Pro. Plus, sign up for my 6-bullet Saturday newsletter at sidehustlepro.co/newsletter. When you sign up, you'll receive weekly nuggets from me, including what I'm up to, personal lessons, and my business tip of the week. Again, that's sidehustlepro.co/newsletter to sign up. Talk to you soon.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.